Good morning.
Morning.
Today's scripture reading is from the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Hear the word of the Lord. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire. A world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. The word of God for the people of God.
We're going to be continuing our series on the book of James, and I'll give credit where credit is due. This is a series I've been preached through James at every church I've been at. And when somebody mentioned it, I thought, I haven't preached it here yet. And so this sermon was first heard by somebody, I got from somebody years ago, Steve Malone. I want to give credit because the notes are his. How I slaughtered them, that's mine. So if you think it's really good, that's him. If it's you think it's questionable, that's probably me. But we're going to talk about the tongue. Now, throughout the book of James, James has mentioned about the tongue. And one of the reasons I like the book of James is it's very practical. It's very down to earth. It just tells us, in a sense, like it is. This is what we should be doing. This is how we should be acting. It tells us to demonstrate real faith, to live as people who have the first fruits of God. It says in the beginning that he chose us, or he gave us birth through the word of truth, that we're first fruits, that we are created for him. James is a portrait of our lives and how we should live. And when we come down to it, it asks us, what are we doing? How are we living? Are we looking after those who we're supposed to be looking after? Is our faith and our deeds matching each other? And it points out the fact that we have a problem. In fact, all of mankind has a problem. It's called our tongue. And some, I call it taming the untamable, because James is saying that if by ourselves, we're not going to be able to tame our tongues. All of us know that we've probably all at one point or another, or maybe many times, have gotten ourselves in trouble by something we said. We've said it and then like, or maybe we typed it or posted it. And afterwards it's like, ooh, that's going to get me in trouble. The tongue remains the hidden for the most part. Unless you stick it out at somebody, people don't normally look at your tongue. An amazing thing, though, if you go to the doctor, what's one of the first things they say? Say, stick out your tongue. Why? Because your tongue can tell you a lot about what's going on, even in your body. The tongue can express or repress. It can release or restrain. It can enlighten or obscure. I thought about that and it's like, yeah. Have you ever heard somebody say, explain something, and after they got done, you were more confused than when you started? If you haven't, there are some college courses I can recommend. It can adore or abhor. It can affirm or alienate. It can build or belittle. It can comfort or criticize. It can destroy or delight. It can be sincere or sinister. The tongue tells a lot about us. And even those who don't like to talk, talk. And everybody seems to have something to say. It's amazing that one of the things we usually associate with somebody who is a good person is they're a person of few words. Hearing that about Tom this morning, he's like, he was smarter than most of the rest of us, at least in that area. Statistics say that an average person, not an overly talking person or a super shy one, but the average person spends about 1/5 of their time talking. That's a lot of words. If we put all our words into print, the result would be that every single day we would fill a 50-page book. In a year's time, an average person would fill 132 books, 200 pages each. That's average. For some of you, you'd make a few more than that. Some of you may be a lot more than that. And you know, there's a lot of opportunity when you do something to make a mistake. So it's not surprising that God's word would invite us to look at this part of our lives, because it's a big part of our life. God has the thoughts about it. We've already read some of the things he said. In James chapter 1, verse 19, it said, "Dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires." In 1:26, it says, "Those who consider themselves religious, yet do not hold a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless." Our tongue is important. Let me ask you, have you ever misused your tongue? I have. Oh, yes. I've said some things that may have been true, but should not have been said at that time. And I'm not talking about that, do I look fat in this? Yeah. Gals, there's no good answer for us. We're dead no matter what we say. How does this look on me? you've already said it. And that's just one of the easier things that we mess up on. Years ago at work, when I was working at Great Dane, the plant manager came out and said, "What do you think of this new piece of equipment we put in?" They only spent about $750,000 on it, and I told him what was wrong with it. That was his idea. My tongue should have stepped quiet. I should have just said, "We'll see how it goes." I didn't. We're told use our tongues for gossip. I like the definition of gossip that says, when we are talking about a situation with somebody who is neither part of the problem or part of the solution, then we are probably gossiping. That covers a lot. What is a lot that's going on in Facebook, Twitter? Gossip. We need to know. Yes, but do you need to be the one saying it? Why do we like to gossip? It makes us feel important. Makes us feel like we know something. And with that, we hurt people. It's been said that some people have a silver spoon in their mouth, or born with a silver spoon. Some of us may have been born more with our foot in our mouth. We seem to sometimes have the natural ability to say what we shouldn't at the worst possible time. It's like we got Murphy's Law tattooed on our tongue. And it's like, right now I shouldn't say something, but I'm going to anyway. If I just waited 5 minutes, no. We do it anyway. Our mouth gets us in a lot of trouble. And James talks more about the mouth than any other book in the New Testament. James talks about the fact that if we can control our tongue, that we can be perfect. Now, this isn't perfect as far as nothing's wrong. This perfect means mature, healthy. And let's be honest. How do you know sometimes whether someone is growing up or not? They know how to control their tongue. They know how to control what they say. There are 4 points I want to look at when we talk about taming the tongue. One, the tongue directs where we go. Two, the tongue can destroy what we have. Three, the tongue reveals who we really are. And four, that our tongues have the power to bring and give life. Good news, I'm not going to preach on all four of those today. I looked over this message again, and I thought, what was I doing to my last church? This is long. Maybe I was talking too much. This past week, I learned what it was like not to talk. Actually, the last couple weeks. Because when I was talking, it hurt. And I have to wonder how much better sometimes we might be if God allowed our tongue or our mouth to hurt when we said something we shouldn't. If we just kept quiet. On the flip side of it, when you can't say or respond, I love you. Thank you. You feel like you're missing something. You feel like you're missing giving out to someone else. But there are also times when silence is golden. That it's better if you not say anything. But see, our tongue can direct where we go. Verse number 3 starts out, it says, we put bits in the mouths of horses and make them obey us. We can turn the whole animal, or ships, for example. Although they are very large, they are driven by strong winds. They are steered by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but makes great boasts. Someone said, if you want to know where you're going to be in the next 10 years, look at what you are saying. What are you talking about? If you want to know what the direction your life is moving in, listen to your conversations. What are the words coming out of your mouth? We are shaped by our words. And our words shape us. We need to listen. James gives this example of the horse and the fact that we can have this 2,000 to 3,000 pound animal being moved by this little piece of metal that's in their mouth. Have you ever seen a ship out of water? One of these big ships. You look at the rudder. Now, some of those rudders are pretty big, maybe compared to us. But compared to the rest of the ship, they're small. And yet, they control that entire ship. That little piece of metal controls that entire animal. And James is saying that in that same way, if we can control this mouth, we can decide where we're going to go. If you want a happy marriage, let me tell you something. Your mouth can settle that problem or cause a problem. You want to know how things are going, how well things are going to go for you at work? Your mouth can direct you. I had a buddy of mine who seemed to enjoy just telling people what he thought about how they were doing. About 10 years ago, I talked to him. He said, I finally decided that I needed to quit talking and start doing something. And all of a sudden, he went from just being a nurse on the floor to working in management, making the decisions that he was complaining about that everybody was doing wrong. And he wasn't just somebody, not one of just one of those people he talked either. He did have a brain on his in his head and knew how to try to fix things. But he knew what his problem was. His problem was his mouth. And we got that under control, all of a sudden things changed. Let me tell you something. There's some power in your tongue that can direct where you're going to go. How powerful is your tongue? The Bible says in Romans that if you believe in your heart, or if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. A mouth is part of that. You've got to be willing to say it. You have to be willing to confess it. Because your tongue will direct your path. There's a danger sometimes in our lives if we allow problems and difficulties to so consume us that we talk about those things all the time. Because then all of a sudden, our tongues and our attitudes and our focus take us onto those things rather than on the things that are important. If you talk about your spouse's problems and issues all the time, you're going to start thinking less of them. And if you're not careful, you're going to begin to despise them. If you start talking about divorce, all of a sudden maybe divorce will become an option. That's why the one thing that me and my wife agreed on when we first got married was the D word would never come up in relationship to us. Not even in joking, not even in kidding. Why? We don't believe in divorce. Yes, there are cases when it has to happen, and I understand what the Bible talks about those things, and they're horrible, but we're going to make sure, try to do whatever we can to make sure that doesn't happen. And where are we started? We decided to start off with our tongues. Our tongue, your tongue can direct where you're going to go in your life, in your relationships, and even in your faith. If you never talk about Jesus, your faith is going to be weaker. If you never talk about God, you will find that your faith does not have the strength that someone else's has. Now, I'm not saying that you should be annoying and talk about God when it's not appropriate. And they say, well, is there ever a time not appropriate to talk about God? Yes. There's times when we should just keep quiet. But our tongues will control our direction. Why is this? Well, Jesus says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And see, what's inside of you is going to come out. So if you have this wanting to come out all the time, you need to find out what's going on the inside. And seek God and seek God's help. And here's this interesting thing. There have been lots of studies who show that what you say becomes more real to you. I'm not always good about this. Sometimes I will say, I'm such an idiot. Oh, I'm a fool. I don't have a brain. Some of you may say, yes, we see that sometimes. But actually, I shouldn't say things like that. And neither should you. About yourself. Whatever you say about me. We need to watch what we say. Like I said, studies have shown it's not just the Word of God. Science has caught up with it and says the things we say become true in our lives. This is an enamor to claim it thing. If you sit down and say, I'm going to have $1 million today, I'm going to have $1 million today, guess what? Unless you work, you're not going to have anything. But like I said, if you keep talking about how much a failure you are, how bad you are, how awful things are, that's what's going to be. Because your tongue controls your destiny, controls your direction. Therefore, we need to watch out. We need to control it. I'll give you these five things, and then I'll give it over to Dale and Beth. I was going to call you Becky, and it's like, no, you're not Becky. Five things to think of before you speak. First of all, is it true? Two, is it helpful? Let's just be honest. Most of the stuff we talk about isn't helpful. Is it inspiring? Is it necessary? And is it kind? Let's make a commitment to watch our tongues and hold them under control. And as we'll talk about a little bit more next week, what can give us control? God. God can give us the ability to control even that which can't be controlled any other way. Dear Father, I thank you for your word. And I thank you, Father, that you are here with us. That, Father, you can give us the grace and the strength to make it, to speak the right words, to learn to be silent when we need to be silent. And Lord, to allow you to direct us and not our tongue. Now, Lord, be with us and watch over us. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, Father, I ask you to be with each one today as they leave this place. And Lord, help us to live out the faith you've given us, the salvation you've given us, and let it bring salvation and life to the world around us. I ask this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless and go with God.